Welcome to Legal Nurse Podcast, where you will get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside of legal nurse consulting. They will share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with 30 years experience. So, join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's Pat.
Welcome to Legal Nurse Podcast. My name is Pat Iyer, and I have the pleasure of bringing to you Karen Taylor, a legal nurse consultant who's based in North Carolina, who has a unique perspective. She started her health career as a respiratory therapist, spent years in ICU, and is now doing LNC work. Karen, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
I just mentioned your background in healthcare. Is there anything else that I didn't mention that is part of your skill set that you bring to being a legal nurse consultant?
Well, as you said, I started out my healthcare career as a respiratory therapist in the early 90s. And I was in respiratory for about 14 years before I started to see that the respiratory avenues and my opportunities were limited. So I decided to go to nursing school. And because a lot of my respiratory background was in the ICU with ventilator patients, it just sort of fell into place that when I came out of nursing school, I went directly into the ICU. And in the ICU, I got the opportunity to do everything from bedside staff nursing to charge nursing, teaching classes. I served as an assistant director in the ICU for a short time. So I kind of got a taste of everything from bedside nursing to administrative functions. And so I was able to bring all of that to legal nurse consulting.
Mm. And I know that many of the people who I know are at that staff level of ICU. How did your perspective change once you became a critical care manager?
You don't have an appreciation for what management does until you get to sit in that seat for a little bit. And it was an interim position, so it was just temporary. I was only there for about 6 months. But attending the meetings, the budget meetings, the staffing meetings, you realize how good management goes to bat for their staff. And they fight tooth and nail to keep the resources at the bedside for the people that are doing the hands-on work. And it can be a very difficult job because it's thankless most times. And you have to have a great team of people to do what you do in management. And so to support them and to make sure that they have what they need makes your job a whole lot easier.
Did you have any temptation to continue on in that position had there been an opportunity, if it wasn't an interim position?
I did not, no. I went to nursing school and pursued my bachelor's degree with every intent of going into management at some point. And I was fortunate enough to try that interim position and give it a whirl. And it was not the realm for me. I preferred the hands-on, the interaction with the patients and the families. Administration, I found to be mostly meetings. As I said earlier, going to bat for your staff, which is wonderful, but it just did not make my heart skip a beat. It was not where I intended to be.
Well, take us through the transition from working in the clinical arena to becoming a legal nurse consultant. How did that go for you?
Well, in late 2019, I had a surgical procedure that took me away from the bedside for a period of time. And during the recovery phase, I decided I would pursue legal nurse consulting. And I decided to take a course, which took me about 6 to 8 weeks to complete. And so using that recovery time, I got a little bit of education, got a little bit of background, And my plan was to overlap, you know, go back to bedside nursing after my recovery and sort of overlap my bedside nursing with legal nurse consulting. It didn't quite work out that way. Thanks to COVID.
About the time that you were physically recovered enough to return is when our lives changed and healthcare changed related to COVID patients in ICU. Prior to when the vaccine was available, it was a different world.
Absolutely. And I didn't leave the bedside because of the impact of COVID. I physically could not do the ICU job anymore. So the beginning of 2020, I decided to take a leap of faith and take the legal nurse consulting training that I had just completed and jump into it with both feet and try to start my business. And so that was January of 2020 when I decided not to go back to the bedside, but to pursue legal nurse consulting full time.
And then how did that go? You were working full time, taking the leap of faith, jumping into it. What were your activities to bring that to fruition?
Well, I will say that I was very fortunate enough to be in a financial situation and had set myself up, and I have a great support system here in the household that I was able to do that. I was able to walk away from a steady paycheck and a guaranteed income to take this leap. Not everybody's able to do that, but I was fortunate enough to give that a try. And it started out as probably many legal nurse consultants start out. I was able to network with attorneys, stop by the offices, take cookies, cold calls, things like that. I tried to start my marketing in that fashion. And of course, that came to a screeching halt come about March 2020.
Were you able to get any clients during that phase?
No, it took me probably 6 total months of marketing and digging and plugging along before I got my first attorney client. And so it was June of 2020 when I got my first client on my own. And after talking to a lot of people, I realized I had to be patient. This was not a turnkey operation. You don't finish a course or set your mind to starting a business and boom, it just happens. I suppose it happens for some people, but it seems like the majority of people I've spoken to in legal nurse consulting when they were getting started, it does take a little bit of time to get that first client and to build up a Rolodex of steady clients. And so it took me 6 months before I got my first client.
I know that our listeners are going to be curious because you've talked about everything coming to a screeching halt in March. And what was your alternative marketing approach once you could not do cold calls and leave the cookies and stop by the law firms? What did you do instead?
Well, early on, I got some very good advice to utilize social media. So I did create a website just so that my business would have some credibility and I would have somewhere to send people. I also built a business Facebook page and did a ton of LinkedIn networking. I started researching the proper way to reach out to people and network through LinkedIn. So I totally shifted from in-person tactics when it comes to marketing to basically all social media and online.
And you and I connected because I was looking for legal nurse consulting guests and found you on LinkedIn and invited you. And you were paying attention to your messages and saw that and are on the show because of LinkedIn. Tell our listener about how you use LinkedIn to connect with attorneys, because I know that's going to be fascinating to many of the people who are going to hear this show.
Well, you have to really focus on the group of people that you're wanting to market to. Obviously, it wouldn't do you much good to market to attorneys that don't deal with any healthcare cases. So you have to take the time, look at people's profiles, and reach out to the people that are actually going to benefit from your skill set. And so I started small, very small, reaching out to people. There is a ability on LinkedIn when you try to connect with somebody that you can send a personal message along with the invitation. I highly recommend people do that because just a simple invitation doesn't mean much. Use your 200 characters or whatever they allow you to send a personal message, very short and sweet, as to what you do, who you are, what you can offer, and that you'd appreciate connecting. So take the time to not only build a professional LinkedIn site, but reach out to the people that you want to connect with, that you're going to benefit from, and that they're going to benefit from you.
All right. So you include that personal message when you're connecting. Then is there another step that you follow after that? Now you're connected, the person has accepted the invitation?
Absolutely. Always thank the person for accepting your invitation. And keep track, if it's through an Excel spreadsheet or a notebook, but keep track of who you've connected with, who has responded back to you. Follow up with these people. And then the best advice I can probably give is when you post on LinkedIn, post valuable information, something of substance. Funny little jokes and this and that. That's, LinkedIn is really not necessarily the place for that. You want to have some substantial information to share, whether it's specifically about what you do, what you can offer. We're nurses, so offer up some medical information, an article on particular kind of documentation or x-rays or lab results or something that shows your value and what your background is. Because if people can't connect you with anything of value, chances are they're not going to follow up with you or look to you when it comes to hiring a legal nurse consultant.
And there's two ways you can post on LinkedIn, through your timeline or by posting an article. Essentially, you can copy and paste from your blog post if you're blogging. Which of those two methods do you use?
I personally usually put together a post. I have posted articles. If I see an article of value, I have copied and pasted the link to the article, but I always make sure to put a personal message in there, pull something out of that article that I found of value, something that was eye-catching that will possibly be eye-catching to someone else. So I've done both. I have posted links to articles, but I've done some posting on my own as well, information I thought might be valuable, coming up with a brief couple of paragraphs about something that I think that, you know, might be of interest.
And then after that step, is there anything else that you do for social media that has brought you attention and clients?
I have done a considerable amount of networking. What I found was, certainly there are thousands of legal nurse consultants around the country and around the world, but we're a relatively small community, and there are some very valuable Facebook groups that I have found that I participate in, and it's good for networking. It's good for throwing ideas around, asking questions, answering questions, offering your information. I have made some very good professional friends that way and professional contacts. And actually, because of those networks that I've gotten involved with, ended up getting some jobs from that.
Mm-hmm. At this point, do you have attorney clients you're working with? Are you doing subcontracting? Are you doing both?
I am actually doing both. I did find out very quickly that marketing is not necessarily in a nurse's forte. Some people, I'm sure, are much better at marketing than others. I found that it's very difficult to market and to figure out exactly, especially since there's well, there might be in-person programs starting now, but for a long time they didn't, you know, the bar associations weren't having their meetings and there weren't in-person conferences. So it was hard to see people that way, but I was able to get some of my own clients, but I found a niche in subcontracting with these networks that I created through Facebook and these groups. People sought me out to do some subcontracting. So I've had great success with that. And that's actually the bulk of my work that I do now is subcontracting work for other legal nurse consultants.
Did that require any kind of a mind shift for you to do subcontracting?
Very much. You know, I came out of the training program that I had done with a lot of gusto that I was going to have a Rolodex of attorneys, you know, pounding down my door, wanting me to do work for them. And when I realized that that wasn't necessarily the case, that it was going to be a longer road than I expected, I did have to shift my mindset and I had to open up to the opportunities that were presented to me. And I didn't, at the beginning, I didn't realize that subcontracting was going to be what the bulk of my work and the bulk of my income was from. But lo and behold, I realized you need to take the opportunities that come your way. And sometimes it may not be what you initially expected, but be ready and willing to open up those doors and walk through them. And so I had a great number of people offer me opportunities and I've gained a lot of experience through my subcontracting.
You mentioned gaining experience. What other advantages have you found from being a subcontractor?
Well, back to the marketing aspect, you have somebody else that has done that legwork on the front end. They have found the attorney clients, they have found these projects. And so me get to dig in and do the fun stuff, the reports and the chronologies and the summary and analysis without having to do the, what I found to be a very difficult part of it, which was the marketing. You also, if you choose to subcontract and not really run your own business, there's very little overhead. You're having someone else that's handling all of the business side of things, and you're getting to do the work and benefit from gaining the experience without all of the associated business related items.
And the drawbacks?
Before we continue with the show, I'd like to share this special announcement with you. If you're interested in subcontracting, you may be interested in knowing how to grow your LNC business. Discover how to grow your LNC business in my handy book for LNCs called How to Grow Your LNC Business. Section 1 asks the provocative question, are you your friend or your enemy? Mindset matters for success. Get inspired by the techniques for tackling adversity. Section 2 helps you take advantage of one of the best ways to grow your LNC business, to teach attorneys. Making presentations to attorneys is an excellent way to demonstrate your expertise and prove your value. 4 powerful chapters give you the specifics on preparing for and delivering a polished professional presentation. Section 3 has pure inspiration. 5 experienced LNCs share their stories of how they got started and grew their businesses. They reveal their triumphs and challenges so that you can benefit from their experiences. Get all these tips by heading over to this link, http://lnc.tips/creating-series. And order the book as well as others in this essential series. That's http://lnc.tips/creating-series. Now let's return to the show.
You don't get paid as much as a subcontractor as you probably would if you were to gain your own attorney clients. But again, you have to be willing to shift your mindset and realize that the opportunities that come your way, you need to grab a hold of them and take advantage. And if that means a cut in pay from what you would make possibly as an independent legal nurse consultant, in my opinion, I think it's worth it. I think it's worth, there's very few people that are going to walk into the legal nurse consulting world and just have this, you know, list of 20 or 30 attorneys that are pounding down your door. You do need to start small and you do need to build a reputation for yourself. Again, very small community, legal nurse consulting, so you can get a good name or a bad name pretty quickly. And so that's probably the only drawback, in my opinion, is maybe the income isn't quite as substantial as a subcontractor. But I think the trade-off getting the experience under someone that does have years of experience is worth it.
I saw varied reactions, Karen, when I gave legal nurse consultants, and particularly expert witnesses, the opportunity to subcontract. It varied from the inexperienced person who said, well, I can't accept that rate. I should be billing 2X and you're giving me X. And also very experienced people who said, I couldn't possibly accept X because when I'm charging on my own, I charge 2X. And I would say, yes, but that's the point. You're not charging on your own. You haven't had to market for this case. It's literally fallen into your lap.
Right.
And some people would accept the arrangement and some people clung very clearly to, I don't want a subcontract. I want to deal directly with the attorney. When I was running my business full time, and this is all I was doing, I would just say next, because there was always an expert witness available who would agree to that arrangement and appreciated the mentoring, appreciated the supervision, appreciated the proofreading that we provided, the training. I can't tell you how many calls I got before I put up a password protected website from people who said, I'm being deposed tomorrow at 9 o'clock, what do I need to know about my first deposition? And then after getting six of those calls, I saw I need to be available 24 hours a day to take these calls unless I have an area where I can send people to say, here's what you need to know. Here's sample transcripts. Here's the tactics that you'll be exposed to. Here's some examples of LNCs who didn't handle those questions well, and you can learn from those. And, you know, we kept building and building and building and adding on to that website. So I think you've brought up some great advantages that people consider when they have an opportunity to subcontract, and a personality type, I have to say, that says, and it's a minority, Karen, but there are people who say, I don't need any help. I don't want any help. Don't give me any feedback. I know what I'm doing. We see those people in healthcare in a variety of settings as well.
Well, I was just going to say that all of my nursing career has been working in teaching facilities. And I've always found that the smartest nurses and the smartest doctors were the ones that came into it open-minded, ready to ask questions, willing to take feedback, and not have that I know everything attitude. Mm-hmm. So I saw it all through nursing, and I've seen the same thing with legal nurse consulting. If you're not willing to listen to people that have been there, done that, it will probably be to your own demise. Eventually.
Yes. And you can become a defendant. The people who keep medical malpractice attorneys in business.
Right.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Having an open mind is certainly a critical feature of success in this field. And I think also from the sense of your attorney clients can say, well, do you do this? and it may be a service that you've never thought about providing. And if your mind is automatically, no, I don't do that, well, what about a new service that you could possibly add because your clients are asking for it? Do you obtain medical records from my law firm? Well, sure, we could do that for you. And that opened up a new service line in my business.
Exactly. I found that a piece of advice I got very early on. And this particular person by no means suggested I lie or represent myself falsely, but she said, if you're asked to do something, your first answer should be yes. And then you figure out how to get it done. Obviously, mm-hmm. if it's something completely out of your scope or out of your realm, then you might need to put on the brakes. But the advice was say yes and figure out how to do it. And just like you said, with getting medical records, you probably had never done that before, but I'm sure you found out how to do it. Mm-hmm. And I've had those opportunities as well. I've had people ask me to do something and I had to go back and reference my legal nurse consulting books and ask my friends on social media, you know, I've been asked to do this. How do I tackle this? And lo and behold, now it's become one of my skills that I have under my belt.
Mm-hmm. So. I know that there are people listening to this podcast who are new and looking for tips. And I think we've covered some of them in this program. What have we not covered? If a legal nurse consultant was asking you about what advice that you could provide to a person who is starting out, what would you say?
Well, first and foremost, you need to do the research. You need to research what it is that legal nurse consultants do. Is it something that is of interest to you? You know, don't go in blind and do research on the different programs. I know that there are some people that don't take any formal training, and I'm sure that there are some of them that do quite well. I chose to actually take a course and get some more professional assistance getting started. I wanted to know a little bit more about legal jargon and, you know, some of the background and how to write reports. So do the research and find a program that works for you, not only what your end goal is, but also your financial situation, because there is a financial outlay and some are more expensive than others. And then create a plan. Know what your plan is going to be if you're going to stay at the bedside and start doing legal nurse consulting part-time, kind of overlap the two, or if you're going to jump in with both feet. Can you do that financially? You obviously, most of us still have bills to pay and financial obligations. So make sure that you can do that. So have a plan and a goal on how you're going to transition over to that. And then, as we talked about, be open-minded. Whatever opportunities might come your way, don't automatically put on the brakes and say, well, I can't do that. That's not enough money, or I did. That's not what I intended to do. Well, I can list about three or four things that I never thought that I'd be doing as a legal nurse consultant that I'm doing now. And it's only because I said yes, and I took an opportunity. And the final thing I would say is, remember, it is a small community. So when you put yourself out there and market yourself, whether it's a LinkedIn profile or posting something on social media, your name gets around, good and bad. And so you want to be very careful about how you represent yourself when you're getting started, because that can affect your whole business and how things go for you.
Yeah, that last point is critical. I don't think that we recognize the smallness of the LNC world. And there can be things that can come back and bite an individual, maybe, you know, in a moment of anger or emotion. I certainly have a few scars on my psyche related to an email that I sent in anger, extreme anger, that should never have left my machine, should never have left Karen. I mean, it was all over the country, sent to 150 people, and it was only intended for one person. And it was... you know, a few seconds of venting can result in weeks or months of mopping up. So I think that's a great point to remember.
Well, and this probably goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. Also remember your personal social media can quickly bleed over into your professional life. So always be cognizant of what's on your personal social media pages as well, especially if you're going by the same name, because that information can kind of bleed over into your professional life. And sometimes that can cause some scars too. Another thing I didn't mention, as a legal nurse consultant getting started, one thing I found of great benefit for me was to have some sample work products to offer. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of people reach out to me asking for me to subcontract, but they wanted to see some of my sample work. Did I know how to do a chronology? Did I know how to write a report? Could I write a grammatically correct sentence or a report that made sense? And I found with the sample work products I had, that was invaluable to me getting the jobs that I have because I had something to show. You can have the best nursing experience and lengthy resume, but it doesn't mean anything if you can't formulate a sentence or get your point across in a written report. So that's one thing I think is incredibly important to have.
That's a great point, Karen. And I have a course called Report Writing Mastery that gives people the chance to take a sample case and prepare a chronology, a medical summary, an expert witness report, and screening the case for merit. Being able to show that you can indeed do the work is important for establishing your credibility.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, I think we've reached the end of our time, and I know that people will want to know more about you and your services. What would be the best way for them to reach you?
I would recommend reaching out to me on LinkedIn. It's just under my name, Karen Taylor. You can find me very easily. I have quite a network of people that I've built connections with through LinkedIn. I also have a Facebook page, again, under my name, Karen Taylor. And then I have a business, Taylor Legal Nurse Consulting, which I have a Facebook page for that as well, and a website. So www.taylorlegalnurseconsulting.com. But LinkedIn is probably the most effective way to get in touch with me. I check that daily and I try to respond to everybody in a punctual, prompt manner. So I would say LinkedIn is probably the best way to get in touch with me.
And for you who is listening to the show, Karen's name is spelled KarenTaylor.
Correct.
Those of us with easy to spell names are the envy of people like me who has a difficult last name to spell. I guess Taylor could be spelled T-A-I-L-O-R, but in Karen's case, it's spelled with a Y.
Yeah, you'd be surprised how many versions of Karen and Taylor I've seen. I didn't think there were that many, but I appreciate you spelling it out.
Well, it could be C-A-R-O-N, maybe, yeah, for your first name.
I've seen it all.
There are very few names that are foolproof when it comes to spelling. Maybe Smith as a last name was probably the easiest, but I was just thinking about John Smith. Oh, but you could spell John, J-O-N, instead of J-O-H-N. So
right.
Listener,
never assume.
Yes, if you are a listener with an easy to spell name, there is somebody out there in the world who's probably figuring out a way to misspell it right now.
Certainly. Well, I appreciate being on your show today. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Karen, for sharing your pearls of wisdom with our group. And for you who has been listening to this show, be sure to leave a like or a comment if you're watching this on our YouTube channel, which is Legal Nurse Business, or if you're listening to this on our as a podcast, an audio program, leave a like, leave a rating, leave a comment. We appreciate your feedback. And be sure to come back for the next show on Legal Nurse Podcast. Steve Kachik and I have just finished recording his podcast. Steve is an expert within the area of customer-focused behavior and how that influences your success as a legal nurse consultant. Steve, what were some of the points that we covered in your podcast?
I think there are a few points. One was what I call the secret sales force is about utilizing hidden resources. When teams are empowered and know they're empowered, and when they know they've got the backing of their managers and the executives to make decisions on the spot and to serve the customer and do what's right for the customer, then you have people who are stepping up to become ambassadors. But also, I say in any organization, you tend to have three types of characters. The ambassadors who go above and beyond, are engaged and motivated and cheerful and make the customers feel good. You have the saboteurs who are quite the opposite and actively disengaged, who make customers and other employees and peers feel bad. You know, they suck the energy out of the room. And you have the neutrals who are just in the between. And good is the enemy of great. We never remember good when it comes to renewals. So the experience being good, being exceptional, is what counts. The other thing is, and it's good for the managers to notice who in their teams are ambassadors, neutrals and saboteurs, and what they can do to bring them up. But from the team's point of view, it's about customer focus and making the customer feel good and handling those difficult people and difficult and awkward conversations, which will come up. And I use an acronym I'll call BREAD. But it's about behaviours, the whole lot. We look at the parent-adult-child mode that Dr. Eric Byrne, the late Dr. Byrne, come up with in transactional analysis, and how we often drift between all of them. But when we stay in the adult mode, then we're being solution-focused, and we're not reacting, we're responding. It's also about building rapport. So we try to find those common interests, those common values, common ways of doing things, because people like people who are like themselves. And if we can align ourselves to the other person's ways of thinking and values, we have more chance of building rapport. We also want to look at empathy, how to empathize. And this isn't about forcing saying, oh yes, I understand, because that's fake empathy and you don't understand. We never understand exactly what someone else is going through, even if we've been through a similar thing. So we need to use other words and other phrases that demonstrate that we are empathizing with them, imagining how we would be responding from that situation, if we were in that situation, and then how we respond. So as again, as a team person, we're looking to empathize with the customer. And we need to learn to be assertive. Now, assertive is not being aggressive or passive or passive aggressive. I often demonstrate this with a triangle, and I say assertive is at the top. And in the middle of a triangle, I take a line and call it the line of emotion. And as long as we're staying non-emotional, we are staying assertive. And finally, I say you need to be detached, in so much as we want to be committed to an outcome and seeing it through without being emotionally attached to doing it our way. It's about being committed to do it the right way. So it's always about focusing on the customer. And if we do, we will retain customers and hence we'll get sales through service. So I think that's really the summary of what we talked about.
Well, and you just got a little taste of Steve Ketchik. Be sure to tune in for his podcast covering some of these aspects of handling difficult people, awkward conversations, and what it means to have a customer-focused legal nurse consulting business. Be sure to come back for Steve's program. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on legalnursebusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at lncacademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Join our community to get notified of each new episode and to receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on podcast.legalnursebusiness.com. We appreciate you and your interest.